Discussion keeps the world turning.
This is Roundtable.
Hello, welcome to Roundtable, where we serve up piping hot debates on the issues that sizzle in China and beyond. I'm Niu Honglin. Coming up, in a world where the pursuit of innovation and the buzz of technology often dominate headlines, a silent trend brews in the heart of China, the rise of the silver hair economy. As the country's government shines a spotlight on elderly care, more young people have found the possible potential and profound meaning in this line of career. Today, let's look into a sector that, while not as glamorous as the tech world, is becoming a beacon of hope and opportunity, especially for the younger generation. For today's show, I'm joined by Yu Shun in the studio and Josh Cotterell on the line. Now grab your virtual compass and follow us to the heart of the discussion. Elderly care has always been a crucial sector of any society. Yet, the jobs and tasks in this industry have actually evolved out of our imagination. Pet therapist, nutrition expert, online butler? When the zeal of youth meet the grace of age, it is time for the young hearts and innovative spirit to redefine the silver economy, turning the golden years into a colorful journey. So, Yu Shun, why don't you start by telling me exactly what is a medical companion? Because it's not something that I'm super familiar with.
Yeah, and actually I think medical companion is quite popular in recent years, to be honest. A lot of people are discussing, and there, I think, are a lot of needs in this. So medical companion provides non-medical assistance and emotional support to elderly. They may accompany patients to appointments and provide companionship during their hospital stays and help with their paperwork or offer emotional support and encouragement. So I think people in need are mostly elderly and they need to deal with this alone. So, and they are not quite familiar with all of the procedures of going seeing a doctor, right? So in this case, these medical companion are very important to help them out, to actually help them to deal with a lot of these, what we call difficulties, because they are actually quite difficult for them to do this alone.
This is a very interesting concept because I think one of my friends have used such service in South Korea because she went to, search for certain medical services in Korea, and she does not understand the language nor the signs in the hospital, so she hired this special medical companion instead of giving her, like Yu Shun has just said, medical advices. The major function of this person is to help her basically navigate in the hospital and understanding certain process needed to make decisions. And I'm not trying to be offensive, but Josh, when you go to a hospital here in China, I'm not really quite sure about your Chinese level, but do you think this kind of help would be assisting you in a certain way that makes the whole process a bit easier?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been in China for about 6 years now, and I would say that my Chinese level is very strong intermediate. I'm very confident in my intermediate level Chinese. So when I go to the hospital, you know, it's not really a place where there's room for mistakes when it comes to communication, right? There's time constraints. You have to communicate very clearly the issues you have, and then you have to understand what the doctor is telling you, right? There's not really too much room for multiple interpretation here. So it can be very difficult and stressful just from a linguistic point of view. So I imagine that also for elderly people as well, this kind of service is really invaluable. And so, that's kind of the situation from a foreigner's perspective.
Yes, that is quite a good point, because for the elder generation, to start with, for a certain reason, I think all hospitals are built based on the map or blueprint of a maze. It's really hard to locate where each department is. And if you think about the kind of checkups you need to do, because the doctors would prescribe certain checkups for you to go through, and then with the results, they will be giving you better diagnosis. And that also requires you to go to different places in the hospital and with this kind of medical help or medical companion, for the elder generation, it will be much easier for them to navigate in the hospital, to run certain errands, and all these can be very important. I was wondering, Josh, do you have similar services in the UK or in Europe in general?
Well, I don't think that there's an exact equivalent to the medical companions. I think that there are various services that are similar, but really nothing exactly the same. In my own country, there are people called hospital volunteers. So a lot of UK hospitals, they have volunteer programs, which is something quite different because obviously the individuals are volunteering, you know, time to assist patients and provide, often it's companionship. So they may do things like, and a lot of this actually also incorporates things like reading to patients, chatting with them, providing some sort of social stimulus for them, right? And also, and doing simple tasks, you know, like getting water or running errands. There are patient advocates and support workers as well. Some hospitals have support workers and they're maybe more trained professionally in things like emotional support and companionship. So that's actually a profession. And then there are other, you know, there are different types of hospitals, right? And there are also things called hospices in the UK and also in European and the US as well. A hospice being a place where, you know, maybe the patients in there are nearing the end of their life and things like this. So there will be different trained staff and volunteers there that will go in and help. But as a full-time role, you know, like a medical companion. I'm sure maybe not all of them are full time, but we don't really have anything exactly like this.
Yes. Also, actually, this role is also quite new and it's not that formalized as a profession in China as well, but we can see there are a lot of needs, right? So first of all, a lot of elderlies, when they are seeking medical treatment and they think transportation and travel issues are actually the obstacles for them to reach a medical treatment. So what we can see is that there are a lot of needs and a lot of people can offer this kind of service. And I think it will develop so fast to become a actual profession.
Yes, all of us, all three of us are living by ourselves instead of with our parents. Our parents are relatively far away from us. And when the time for them to visit a hospital, it's hard for us to hail a taxi for them or drive them to the hospital. And these kind of services would definitely help if they need. So that is one profession that a lot of young people are devoting themselves into when it comes to elderly care. And another very interesting one I noticed is a nutrition expert, because I've actually had the experience of visiting a nutrition expert when I was pregnant, because you are in a different kind of state in your life. You require extra amount of this and you need to watch out why amount of that you're taking in. All that should be under the guidance of a nutrition expert. And I think that could also be the situation for some elderly people, especially when they are suffering from certain chronic disease.
Right. Yeah, so these dietitians will offer personalized nutrition advice and meal planning services for people in need. And we can see, according to the China Country Assessment Report on Aging and Health released by the World Health Organization in 2015, of these deaths, over 50% were attributed to dietary risks and high blood pressure in people aged over 60 years in China. So I think, in fact, older adults need to pay more or even close attention to conditions such as, you know, high blood pressure and high blood sugar. If they can, you know, control them well in their daily lives, it can actually reduce the risk of developing certain diseases. Because one thing is that what we eat, of course, we have something that is suitable for people who have high blood pressure, high blood sugar, right? But the thing is that the self-discipline of these group of people.
Oh, tell me about it.
Because we can get these type of food. But maybe the difference is not that tasty.
No, they're not.
Yeah, so when we're having that kind of a, you know, healthier and low sugar, low oil products, they're not as tasty as what we can have in our daily lives. In this way, even though some of them may think that, okay, I need to have a healthier diet, but they'll just get to the wrong direction of getting that kind of a junk food, or what we call food with a lot of oil and sugar.
Well, I think that I think I have to disagree with one thing that Yushin said, although I'm sure that Yushin probably doesn't think that it's this simple, but I personally think that really good nutritionists, in my opinion, the best ones, right, are the ones that do also know about flavor. So they're the ones that are able to diversify food intake and keep it exciting and keep it interesting while also keeping it very healthy. So I think that, you know, nutrition, it does encompass enjoyment and fun, I think. So I think that it can, if that person is really competent as a chef as well, and not just a nutritionist, right, but knows about flavor, I think that's the ultimate goal. And I think that also it can really bring communities together. Food is the ultimate sort of socializing hub, right? And I think that when it comes to elderly people as well, that's often something that they're missing. So if you have proper nutritionists that also see food as something that's not just a necessity, you know, to survive on, but also an aspect of socializing and, you know, something that you can have fun with, I think that it can be really effective.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, that's what I was thinking. To the dietitian are offering the option of both healthy and tasty so that they don't really actually, I mean,
have
the
to
elderly,
suffer.
Yes.
I think that's the situation, because if you are told or you're trained as a dietitian, you would give relatively general advices and guidance to people. You are thinking about the 1.4 billion Chinese out there. You're trying to give them a generalized plan for their diet of everyday meals, and that is not going to work. However, for a lot of young people here in China, the young dietitians are focusing on the elder generation, and especially maybe they're focusing on the elderly in their own community that they're providing their service with. In that situation, they would be able to take into the consideration of each and everyone's personal needs. Do they want their food to be sweeter, or do they want a little bit of spice? What kind of spicy food would be relatively healthier for that specific patient? And I think that need is actually very important to each and every individual, which is the reason that I find having a dietitian in every community or in certain facilities providing services for elderly care is really essential. And I see great potential in this career as well. In the meantime, I was wondering, Josh, when you were doing the research to look into these very interesting new professions in the elderly care industry, is there a specific career that you find interesting or caught your attention?
I think that music therapy is really interesting. Probably doesn't surprise you guys so much that that's piqued my interest. But I think that often it's easy to forget how powerful not just music is, but how powerful sound is. And, you know, sound has the ability to make us feel very comfortable. It also has the ability to make us feel very uncomfortable. Mm. It's extremely powerful. Things like sound pollution, noise pollution in cities. You'll know if you've ever had people in your building doing work, you know, renovations in the building that you're in, how frustrating and stressful that can be, right? And how it can make your heart beat faster and make you sleep less. And all of these things can be very damaging. And so in the same way, it can also be very positive and not just mood lifting because everybody's singing the same songs, but it can have genuinely powerful effects on the physical body. So there's so much evidence about this. And so I think that music therapy is a wonderful job. And also not just for elderly people, but for also, I've seen my brother has autism, and I know growing up with him, he's only a year older than me, and with a lot of other people with autism, music therapy has been one of the most powerful things that has helped him and also other people that I've grown up with having disabilities to make them feel calm, make them feel focused. It's obviously community based, it's social based, and so I think that it can have a really amazing effect. So it's something that I've always found very interesting. And I think the research into it has shown that it really can have amazing results. And it's a little bit misunderstood sometimes, I think. It's not just people getting around and singing songs like in KTV, you know?
Yeah, I understand. And actually, they're not only making people listen to music, they also help people to make music, write songs, and sing and dance and discuss music, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that is why this can be caught as a therapy, because not only when we are listening to the music can be therapeutic, also when we are actually conducting, making, or discussing music, it is actually a process of, I think. And also, when you are doing this, you are quite focused on the thing that you're actually interested in, or something that you like, and or something that is so soothing. So I think that is why this is also getting popular among young people, and they would like to actually use this kind of profession. And also, I think when people are doing this, they are interested in music. So they're actually utilizing their profession or their interest to help more people.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see with the development of technology, of brain science, of people doing more research on the therapeutic function of music, of sound, of even something we're going to discuss later, pets, animals. We figure out more ways to help people in a relatively more personalized, people-centered way. And I'm not surprised to see a lot of young people getting into this profession. And since we've already mentioned pet therapist, what's with that?
These are mainly therapy dog trainers, I would say. They work with dogs to prepare them for roles in providing emotional support and therapy to people in hospitals or nursing homes or schools or other settings. Because we know that therapy dog, to become a qualified therapeutic dog, the dog needs to participate in many evaluation established by Therapeutic Dog Public Welfare Project organization. And they not only require good obedience, basic language communication skills with humans, and also the ability to understand various commands, but also they also required to have good socialization training to adapt to different unfamiliar environments.
So these pet therapists, instead of providing pet therapy to the elder generation, or on top of that, they also train pets so that more pets can provide or can be used in such sessions. So again, this is a bigger industry or a bigger profession than I imagined before doing the show. And here is the $1 million question. With all these new professions out there trying to help, trying to provide better services, actually higher level services to the elder generation, do you think the elder people would actually take money out of their pocket to purchase such services? Do you think it's something that is running towards each other rather than young people trying to be innovative, trying to think out of brand new ideas? They feel like they're being very impressive, yet maybe they're just creating something that the elder generation does not really need.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out, won't we? I mean, I'm sure that some of these things will be sustained and they will have popularity, and some of them won't. I personally think that certain things will always be universally appealing and appreciated. Things like music. I mean, just socializing and connection. I mean, having this kind of opportunity to have the human connection in whatever way or form. I mean, all of these things, in some ways, they're quite different, right? But in many ways, they're very similar. And I think they're all about communication, human connection, socializing. And this is something that elderly people especially lack and miss, and something that's very, very important to them. In a lot of societies, it's gotten to a point of crisis. In my own country, for example, the number one issue with elderly people is every year reported to be loneliness and a lack of human connection, which starts off as something non-physical, but then of course it has an effect on the body physically. So I think that all of these services, although some of them might seem a little bit niche, I think they're all sort of doing the same thing. For me, at least, that's how I see it, is that it's all about human connection. So yeah, I think that it's not just a phase or a craze or something like this.
Yeah, and also I think, of course, elderly people can purchase such kind of service. I was thinking a lot of these hospitals and nursing homes can actually implement these kind of service into their maybe a package or something to at least, first of all, let the consumers, what we say, right, these people who need these kind of service to actually try it out, right? Of course, this is kind of a new industry to widely integrate pets into a therapy session, but we need to see the effect of these kind of service, right? And another one is that I think this is a good way for people to actually have something to rely on, because when you are putting all of your effort into a dog, let's say a golden retriever, they will give all they have back to you. And I think that is one of the biggest point that why people need a pet. And that is why pet therapy is so powerful, I think.
So there are these different kinds of professions young people are devoting themselves to, with actually a good reason, because if you take a look at the numbers, we would see that according to the National Health Commission, China's population of elderly people aged 60 and above will exceed 400 million around 2035, accounting for over 30% of the total population. In the meantime, we see that the consumption potential will increase from 4.3 trillion, that is around 600 billion US dollars in 2022, to approximately 40.6 trillion yuan, that is around 5.6 trillion US dollars in 2050. And that is actually a really huge market. That is one of the reasons that a lot of young people are joining the industry. And not only are we seeing a lot of innovative new jobs, there are a lot of new technologies creating a lot of new different devices, different facilities, not only in homes, but also wearable devices and also different types of facilitations in public areas to help the elder generation better enjoy their golden years.
So Ministry of Industry and Information Technology also mentioned the importance of increasing the supply of high quality elderly products. So first of all, two batches of promotion catalogs for elderly products have been successfully released, focusing mainly on 631 high quality products such as elderly clothing, care robots, smart monitoring devices, and multifunctional nursing beds, etc. And they are focusing, one point I think that is very good is elderly people can operate them independently in bed using a lot of these equipments and effectively improve their quality of life. Because I feel that nowadays, furnitures or home appliances, they are becoming so smart, both in terms of functionality and usability. But I believe the reason for emphasizing designs for the elderly is because the learning curve for the smart home features is actually quite steep. They need to be connected to the internet, they need to be smart, but it's very likely that setting them up independently is challenging for the elderly, and also let alone using them on a daily basis. So I think the point is that we are having so many high-tech intelligent appliances, home appliances and furnitures to be used, but the thing is we need to let them to be used easily.
That is a really good point. Actually, here on Roundtable, we discuss the topic of elderly care quite frequently. We talk about the current challenges. We talk about young talents getting into the profession and also growing in the industry career-wise. And we also talk about the possible problems we need to tackle in urban areas, in rural areas. There are a lot to talk about. And today, what we're focusing on is this very promising new careers, new technologies that are helping elderly care to be not only meeting the basic needs of the elder generation, but also providing them the possibilities to enjoy their golden years.
And I feel that these are a lot of issues that people would not like to discuss when we are young, such as, you know, the last phase of your life or when you become old and need assistance or something like that. But this is a very practical and realistic issue. So now more and more young people are joining these industries, which I think also indicates our pursuit of life. That is a kind of a direction for better quality of life. And at the same time, these industries can thrive even more with the addition of this youthful energy.
Totally. So to all of our young listeners out there, remember, your energy and fresh ideas have the power to transform lives and make a real difference in society. And keep in mind, every age is celebrated.